Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 5. And we read from verse 17 to verse 26. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 26. Continue to speak here about evangelism and about our mandate to give the message that people need and the church need today. Say it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the turning with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God. Lord, I pray for your message to be clear to each and every one of us. Anoint my lips, O God, and put verses in scriptures. Give us humility to accept your word and direct us, O God, to the path that will bring healing and recovery and revival in each and every one of us, life, family, and your church. Even to those who are far away who will hear the message. I pray that the purpose of sending this word of yours shall be accomplished, O God. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for recovery from diseases, recovery from spiritual sicknesses and sins. I pray for repentance. I pray for fruit in our lives. We thank you, God, with this. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason that I was choose this passage you may hear this passage before, you have read it, but the reason that I choose this passage today is verse 17. In verse 17, I speak that where Jesus was a certain day and he was teaching, they were around him Pharisees and doctors of the law, teachers of the law, and say that the power of God was present to heal them. Now, when you hear like this, When he said that the power of God was present to heal them, whom he mean here to heal whom? Whom he is going to heal, Jesus here? What is in your Bible? You know what is in the NIV wrote? If somebody has NIV, can you read it loud? This verse 17, please. The power of the Lord was present there to heal the sick. So what do you understand here? No, with the NIV, when he said that to heal the sick, have you got the point? But in King James, he said to heal them. He did not speak about sick people. He spoke about people who are traveling from Judah, Jerusalem, Galilee, they are very fit to walk. Jesus was teaching them and the power of God was there to heal them. So they are not about sick people. Although in verse 15, that he, Jesus, healed many people. But so much the more when there a fame abroad of him, and a great multitude came together to heal and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now they are very clear, they came to be healed by their infirmities. But the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, when they came from every village and he was teaching, it was, you know, arranged meeting. I think he was in that. I think he was, I'm not sure exactly. But the meeting was arranged that they would come and hear him, and he was teaching them. But the one who wrote the gospel, Luke, St. Luke, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told him, write to heal them. Now, of course, if them belong to whom now? Pharisees and doctors of them, not about the sick. In verse 18, however, verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, those who translate NIV, they say most likely what he means here, to heal the man who is having palsy. But actually, the healing was to the church leaders who came for him to heal. The healing was as intended today is for us, nor for the sick people. 20 years ago and 15 years ago, as I am aware of, one of the things that prayer was directed to God is about healing sicknesses. But nowadays there are less sicknesses other unto God to be for healing. But here today there are many sicknesses in the church, in the churches of God, in the churches of Christ, spiritual sickness that need to be healed. One of it is, number one, worldliness. Number two, the church has invited all the idols in the world and accommodate them inside the church. Number three, the third sickness, the church doing her own will and condoning all the plans that is not of God. And we need to be healed. Church leaders, they are doing all that they can to justify worldliness, to condone and to accept all the practice that whatever culture or tradition dictates on the church, putting aside the word of God, and that had caused sicknesses in marriage, in families, in finances, and in children raising up. And don't say no, we need healing in that. In the morning, I put some proposal and I discussed with them about a topic very important. about marriage. Let us put goal, like a man and woman get to marry. Let us put goal, a godly goal, not a demand. Should be a need. You know what I suggest? I say that let us put a goal that this couple, when they get married, their children, when they reach the age of 6 or 5 or 7, let the first book they will read is the Bible. Is it a need or no? Is it a demand or want or worldliness in that? It is a real need, because the one who gives the child, the one who gives the parent, the one who created everything is God. And if God's word is not read by this child who has eyes and who has a brain and who has tongue and who has this very active, then what's for them? Now, do you agree about it? Okay. Can we discuss what is the requirement for that? If that is there, the goal, the aim is that every marriage, that their children, by 6, they will, first book is the Bible, they have to read. Right? So what is the need now? We have to go to the need to prepare. Like when I tell you, can you prepare a cake? You tell me, bring 5 eggs and flour and salt and give me all them. Whatever, there is a requirement. What is the requirement for them? Do the parents, the father need to be godly? Do the parents, do the father need to read the Bible or no? Okay. How about the wife? The wife is also. Now, marriage is one aspect, spiritual aspect. How about the financial aspect? Do the father need to work? Need to work, right? Do the father need to be educated? In whatever way, there is some need of knowledge to let him work, to have his skills, and to earn the money to support their family. Now, speaking about the wife, do the wife need to work? Huh? Okay, now here about the wife to work. Now what we need the child? Need the child by 5 or 6 to read the Bible. Who will take care of the child? Huh? The man, we agree, right? You have doubt, the man should work outside, right? Okay, when you go to the work, who will take care of the child? Thank you. Can we say the mother? Because in the morning they say wife. I say, when you say wife, it could be second wife. Should be the mother who gives birth to the child. You should take care of her. Then the mother who should take care of the child, then how she can move. Have you get the point? I'm not speaking that we are upright today. I'm speaking about how we have been departed gradually from the scriptures. Nowadays, to put me back where God tells me, I need, you know, give me, you know, 20 years to correct it. Now you agree that the wife should stay at home, because if she has 2 or 3 children, who will take care? The auntie, the grandmother, you know. But see, we are speaking from the Bible. Now the wife should stay at home. Now the other question, do the wives need to be educated or no? Yes, why she need to be educated? So she will educate them, she's the teacher for the children. Is the church in bondage of that or no? 100%, all the churches now, all the churches, 2 parents are working, okay? Salary is not enough. Children, why what? No one is compliant. Do we need to teach that or no? Do we need to be healed from the sickness or no? This is more than cancer. More than cancer. Because we are brought to hell by these sins. Now the man, according to what we discussed now biblically, when he wants to get married, he should understand that I will be the one to provide all the needs of their family pertaining to the outside work. And the woman, to get money, I need to be staying inside the house, taking care of the children and the affairs of the house. Now, there's one aspect now I need to discuss about finances, right? Better two salaries or one salary? No, always two salary better, you know? Okay, but now have to be only one income, because man is working outside, woman have to be inside. You know, that's at the point where we have to introduce the stewardship. Now, when you say, I will work to help my husband, that's correct, you have to help. But you know, it is, at the end it will be more costly. That's what the Bible says. A prudent wife who can find, a virtuous woman who can find, she is more worth than rupees. You know what I say? I say woman who know how to manage the affair of her household, it is a salary to the house. Penny saved is penny earned. And you get the point here? Now, when the washing at home, she have to do the work that will save the money. Say about cooking, yeah? Why most of the women know how to cook? Because the man is also, they are indoors. They are good in cooking, saving whatever they can for the cooking. And, you know, when the woman started to work, there are other businesses and things have come out. 100 years ago, you don't find somebody who is working as a tailor for their things. Women in the houses, they are stitching the things. You don't have confectionaries. You don't have bakers that we have. You don't have restaurants as was available, because women in the house, they are planting, they are harvesting, they are saving. That's true. They are managing their house inside, teaching their children, disciplining them, correcting them, and man is also. That's what the Bible language speaks. And we need to do it in order for our children to be able to read the Word of God and become obedient to God. One, the mother should be available over the kids. I can't replace that. Because what is going on, sometimes the father sitting home, the wife, because no one have taught it for many generations. Especially after the TV was put it on. When they put the TV, all the corruption come inside the family, and we need healing of them. Let's go to the message that this discussion we would, at the end, maybe later. But let's go back to the scripture, how we need to be healed, how the churches today need to be healed. Children raining up, harassed. Finances harassed. Marriages and family are harassed because foundation has been completely disturbed. And I will tell you something, what I learned from God. If you will not seek Him, it's up to you. You want to continue like that? Generation after generation go to hell, graduate. Without God, they know all the knowledge. They know all the knowledge, but they don't know their God. God will not interfere much because He has scriptures, and we need to go deep to scriptures to understand His will. Why the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they came to listen to Him? Now, let us say with a good will, they come to listen, to learn, okay? But if they have learned, I did not hear that the teachers and the Pharisees, they obey Him and they converted and they will follow Him, right? So, principally, basically, they did not come to learn, but they come to find fault, to pick up on Him certain things. And that is not what is going nowadays. Whatever teaching that would hit the tradition and the culture of the church and the generational sin, What I spoke now is a generational sin, that the family is in disorder, marriage is in disorder, finances in disorder, children are disorders, and the church is not willing to do anything about them. And when you speak this teaching, they will vehemently attack you, accuse you, disqualify you, pick up on you things to disqualify the word of God that you are speaking. When he told to the man, who came by having palsy, he told him, "Your sins are forgiven." The first answer of the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, in verse 21, that's why, as I said before, to evangelize only to the man who has palsy, but don't touch the church leaders and the setup, it will not work. We have to deal with all aspects. Church needs healing. And we are accountable. In verse 21, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" First they accused Jesus that he is speaking blasphemy, right? But he was speaking the word of God. He was speaking the very word of God. He was doing and saying the will of God. So they accused him of blasphemies. Second, they did not accept him as God, right? Because they say, "Who can forgive sin but God?" So you are not God. Why you take these things on your head? Now, out of jealousy, maybe out of envy, maybe they did not like him. But you know, there were not two, three people. There were a multitude of people there. I don't believe that all of them have jealousy and envy. Right? At least two, three people, they will say, "No, he's speaking right." Or maybe they are afraid, but most likely, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were not aware, they were not taught about why Jesus had really come into the world. I'm not saying that they don't know the scriptures. They know it. They know it by heart, and they also recommend people to read it and hear it. But to respond it and to analyze it and make it fit to the situation, that was not there in their midst. Now, let's go to the Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Why this issue of marriage, finances, children, raising up, these basic things that we just spoke now, is not being revealed to others because they were not taught of it. In Matthew chapter 1, now let me ask you why Jesus came before we read the scriptures. To save from? That is the very absolute correct answer. How about if I say he came for miracle, to do miracle? That's right, but that's not the real need. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when the angel of the Lord announced to Joseph that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Ghost, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You see the point, that the purpose that Jesus came, his purpose is to save people from sin. But we understand that sin will not be, we will not be saved from sin unless we repent, right? And the scripture just show us where we sin and when we fail God and how we come back to him. Now let's read also John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. John 6, verse 14 to 15. So here when he said that the power of God was present to heal them, If they are not aware that Jesus came to save their sin, how the healing will flow in their lives? John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. After he multiplied the bread and he made them filled, you know, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that the prophet that should come into the world. That was written in the book of Deuteronomy when Moses told them, God will raise up a prophet from your own brothers. They say, that is he. In verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So here their motive that Jesus would be the Messiah, would be the king that can save us from the nations that are enslaving us. Not about that he came to save us from our sins. They were not aware that what is their need. Their need for them is a king, a strong king to save them. But that is not the purpose that he came from. In John chapter 7 and verse 31, when he was in the Feast of Tabernacles and the people knew about it and there was discussion about him, some people, some personnel proposed he is the Messiah based on what? Propose he is the Messiah. Let us read why they say that he is the Messiah. Or we cannot find it except he is the Messiah. Let us read based on what? And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Based on the miracle that he did. That is for him the Messiah. He did miracles. They compared in the Old Testament. There is no prophet like that. Possibly this is the one. But that's not the purpose that Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Not for other purpose. The teacher of the law and the Pharisees, they had not been taught the value of the Messiah in their life. Now please listen to this. All what Jesus did, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit can't do it except one thing. All what Jesus did, from miracles, wonders, provisions, guidance, wisdom, all this, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit have done it and He's doing it. Even to this day, except one thing. Jesus' death on the cross. That's what for Christ came into the world to do it. That's why the question of the teacher of the law and the Pharisee, why we need to believe in your miracles? God can do it. Holy Spirit is here. But the point that He is needed for their salvation, to take away their sin, that they were not taught of it, although they know the scriptures. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, when they say to the Lord, who forgives sin but God alone? That's correct. What they say is, it's correct, and it's in the scriptures. It is written that God saves sins. Psalm 43 and verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. That's God Almighty. He's saying to his people, I am the one who will blot out your transgression and will not remember your sins. So God can. Isaiah 43 verse 25. Isaiah 43 verse 25. Very clear here that God Almighty declares, I am the one who forgives your sin and blot out your sin. Yeah? And I will not remember your sin. So here, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, when they came to the meeting, they are comfortable that they have God who can forgive their sin. But they are not aware of what other scriptures. In Isaiah 53 verse 5 and 6, you know, Jesus, the first scripture he read in the synagogue, when he went to the synagogue, they give him, the minister give him the scroll. He read from the book of Isaiah. So they know the scripture or no? They know it. They did not relate it. They did not respond to it. They did not go on to the application of it. Most likely because they were not taught of it. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and 6. Say verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now he speaks here about somebody else. Because I sinned, he would take my sin. Right? Who is he? He's an animal or he's a man? He's a man. He took our infirmities, yeah? He was bruised for me. So he said, you should be a man, not a spirit. You should be flesh. He say, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now somebody may say, oh, that is speaking about God the Father. Okay, go to the next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there's here a third person between them and God. He's a man. God laid on him their sin and their iniquity. Now when they say that who can forgive sin but God alone, if this scripture had been expounded to them, they would say, who can forgive sin but God alone when he take our sin and put it on the Messiah? That's the correct answer, right? Do the Jews are aware that without shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sin? Yes, they were doing it till Jesus came. They were doing it in Leviticus chapter 4. I'm telling you, they know the scriptures. But how to put it for them to apply it in their life, that did not come through in their life. That's why it's written, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Leviticus chapter 26, chapter 4 and verse 26 about the sacrifice of the sin offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifices of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sins, and it shall be forgiven him. And verse 35. So here after he sacrificed the animal, make atonement for them, he bear the fat, the sin of that person, whoever is he, will be forgiven. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So they are aware of this principle that there must be shedding of blood. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Do the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who attend that meeting Have they been aware of what their needs is? No, they were not aware. They were not aware that Christ is the Messiah and in Him is their needs. Because that area of the scriptures that their sins should be taken away, put it on the Messiah, was not much clear to them. Although Christ in the same meeting had explained, we'll go back. But let me read Luke chapter 19, verse 39 to 42. When Jesus was crying over Jerusalem, He was crying over the city, and let us read why He was crying for the city. When He entered the temple and the Pharisees did not accept Him, the teacher of the law, you know, did not accept Him. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke the disciples, because they were pressing Him. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it. Verse 42, saying, If thou hast known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. He told them, if you will know what the thing will bring you peace, even this day you are not aware of it, but that was hidden from your eyes. He was there, that is their need, but they had rejected Him. Let me have room to another scriptures to convince you that the teacher of the law, they are not aware about the rule of the Messiah and how the sin will be taken away from them and put it on Him. Do you know the story of Philip when he met the eunuchs when the Lord told him, you go and go beside the chariot and come with the man and sit with him. The man that the Holy Spirit had led Philip to go to him, the scriptures speak that he went to Jerusalem for worship, and in his returning back, the Holy Spirit sent Philip to meet him. What he was reading? Isaiah. Which chapter? He was reading Isaiah chapter 53. You know, he went to Jerusalem and sure there was revival there. And there was some feast. And he went there for worship. The scripture was read to them, right? And he's still on fire, he was reading the scriptures. When Philip approached him, and he asked him, in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Have you get the point here? He was there in Jerusalem where the headquarters, the Sanhedrin, all the teachers and Pharisees of the law, and the book of Isaiah, one of the books that is honored among them. And they recommend also to read and to study. Have they explained to him? Have they explained to him what he was reading? He was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Again about the Messiah. A teaching that was not well sound to the taste of the teachers of the laws and the Pharisees. Nowadays, speaking about marriage, speaking about finances, speaking about raising up godly children, this is the topic that we just keep it aside and let us do other things. Acts 8 and verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. So there's a man. In his humiliation, that's verse 8, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And Enoch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Have you got the point here? Certain area of the scripture was not touched and taught. Have you understand now? Our evangelism will never be effective. We will tell them Jesus died for their sins. Everyone know it. But the other part of the scripture that will be neglected, not over 1 year or 2 years, generational. We need to put things back into the order. You know, the writer of the book of Hebrews, most likely Paul. You read the book of Hebrews. Speak all about Jesus, right? Will he mention miracles of him? He never mentioned. Never mentioned about miracles. He was speaking all about the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and how Christ, when he came, he replaced all the things in the law. He became the high priest. Yeah. He became the offerings. He became the sacrifice. He took away the sin. He never speak about miracles to them. Because God the Father and the Holy Spirit has given to them. But the sin that needs to be taken away, Jesus is God the Son who is responsible in doing that. We need to preach the message that they don't like to listen. We need to speak the message that they need for them to be healed. The part of the teaching that they have put aside and neglect is for them. In book of Hebrews chapter 9, the power of God was there present to heal them. Heal them. Certain scriptures, they were not touched. Brand new. Was not respond to them. Jeremiah, I think in the book of Lamentation, he told them, your prophets did not respond to you, the scriptures. That's why you are like that. Hebrews chapter 9. And we will read verse 19 to verse 26. For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. He brings them to the point they are not aware of. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven is said now to appear in the presence of God for us. And he's telling them that he entered the most holy place to enter before God for us, to enter into the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He brought them to the end. That's why you need Jesus the Messiah. God can't forgive you your sin unless he take it and put it on this man that he has chosen. That's why when they hear the message, when they hear him, your sins are forgiven thee. Who forgives sin? But God alone. Why is he blaspheming? That teaching, and that teaching was being expounded to them. They will say it. No. Our responsibility as a church. I will continue to speak about the single mother, the finances, yeah, the stewardship, the preparation for godly marriage. Have you got the point here? Because that's where we need a healing. Now let us go back to our story. What we had before proposed about godly marriage, and we say that the goal for a marriage for a certain family, that when the children is becoming 5 or 6 years, that be the first book they will read the Bible. Now let me, how many of you think that I am strict? How many of you think that I am strict? Never. I will give you another step now. And you think about me if I am strict or I am wayward. Now how about if I say, you want to get married? God is with you. Let us put a project that your children that you will give to birth, they will read the Bible at the age of 6, and their children also. When they get married, they have children, their children will read the Bible at the age of 6 or 7, and their next generation also. I am putting the second floor now, and the third floor. Have you got the point? We can't put third floor or fourth floor or fifth floor unless we follow the teaching as strict as the Bible speaks about. I'm repenting. Lord, forgive me, I am wayward. I need to follow. I am not telling that you do it now. But at least we should understand this is wrong, not correct. But I cannot change it now. Next generation, when we will endorse, those things should be no more. Have you get the point? That husband work, wife is in the house. Why? Because we have children who will come to take care. Amen? How about finances, education, all the Bible speaks all about it. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Are you sad, ladies? That you are not going to, but this is the word of God. Have you got the point here? I'm not speaking now. We can't apply it now. I have limitations. There are certain things I'm not ever able to declare. Have you got the point? Have you got the point? When we go back to the scriptures, we find healing in the scriptures. But the young people, my education, and I want to know my career. You are not an erzet. Not a wife. You would be a mother. Have you got the point? Well, this is scripture. If you want godly children, that's the way. If you don't want godly children, then you are choosing hell. If we put aside the word of God that will bring us healing in this area that we are infected with, from the tradition that we had came from, we need to put back the word of God step by step. In Luke chapter 5, Will Jesus explain to them that he is the Messiah? In chapter 5. Verse 22. After they say who forgives him but God alone, and when they say who is this which speaketh blasphemies, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What's in your heart? What teaching you have received? What is the word that is in your heart? And again, if we saw effectively somebody respond and explain to them as Philip explained to the Enochs, it will be easy. So, what I'm seeing here, what we are teaching, something strange. Okay? Why strange? Because it had not been taught. But we need to continue to explain. He answered unto them, what is written in your heart? He told them in verse 23, whether it is easier to say this, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. He told them, what is easy for me? It is more easy for me to say rise up and walk, because that's miracle. Praise God, he did miracle. But he did not touch the area that he came to remove sin. That was not touched. That's the decision that they are not aware of. He told them, it's easy for me to say rise up and go, better than to say, easier to say than to say that your sins are forgiven. In verse 24, he explained to them why he say it. But that ye may know that the Son of Man, speaking about himself, I am the Messiah, has power upon earth to forgive sins. He told them, I said intentionally not to disturb you, but to let you know the teaching that you are not aware of, that Christ has the authority to forgive sin. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up immediately before them and took up that whatever he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now here's the point. Here's the point. It's very beautiful. When he explained to them, he told them, go arise. Did the man was able to stand or no? He was able to stand. What was the reason of his sickness? Sin. And he proved to them that he has the authority and the power to forgive sin. And sin is the reason for that man to be in palsy. And sin is the reason for the church of today to be paralyzed. We can't move forward unless we accept the word of God. You know, the church today is muddling into the mud. The evangelism that is coming on, I'm not seeing fruits in it. Coming from Hindu background, they celebrate Valentine. Coming from Buddhist background, they will celebrate Halloween. From one to another. Area of sin not being touched at all. It's all white painting. Paint and rent. But no repair of that thing that need to be repaired. Verse 26. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God. Even the first day, they glorified God. Because healing is from God, right? Forgiveness is from God. And we are filled with fear. They were all afraid of God. And listen to this. Saying, what they say, we have seen strange things today. It was strange, but he did. But that's the scriptural. Have you get the point? He did not do the strange things. He did the very things that God ordained. Have you get the point? They will ask, have with quite a number of people, they say, and some they accuse me, we never hear like that, no one has spoken like this. It is a strange thing for us. Did they accept him? If they accept, they will not say strange things. Do they need to be given the message, those teachers of the law and the Pharisees and doctors? The message for them. The man who carried the paralytic man to speak that when Jesus saw their faith. Those people, they know the scriptures. Yes, they know the scriptures. They did not say, why you blaspheme God? They know he's the Messiah and the sin of this guy and my sin and your sin and the teacher of the law sin should be on him so that our sin will be forgiven. Otherwise, God cannot do anything about it. Have you got the point? They are not only hardworking. They not only having the love of God, but they know the scriptures and they understood what Christ was doing. And when they brought the man, who was blocking the way? Why they were not able to bring him right in front of Jesus? Because the multitude of the teacher of the law and the Pharisees. His sin was not expounded unless he should be brought before Jesus. They need to open the roof and bring him right in the front of the roof. We are ministering, we are evangelizing in such atmosphere. That's why we need to persevere. We should not give up. Even Jesus crucified, Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. He explained it to us. Till they will give up their sins and come back to God. That's what we need to do. Let's stand. We are church on fire, right? Scripture should be respond. So that when teaching is given, the flesh will react. But we don't know later on how people will respond, but we need to do our part. You know, lamb unto my feet, light unto my path, this is you, Jesus. You know, it is really His word. The word of God in the scriptures. We need us. To help churches and people. To help even our own self with it. But in maintenance and repairing, sometimes you have to go deep to the foundations. You have to make it mess. Make it mess, then it will be after that, it will be arranged in a proper way, then you can put the second floor, third floor, and fourth floor. Let's pray. Let's repent. God, forgive me my sins. I'll continue to seek your word and your will. I will continue, God, to declare your words and what your church needs from scriptures, especially the scripture that's neglected and we are suffering because of that negligence. Oh God, help us. As your Holy Spirit shows that generations have been passed on certain sins and to correct, you have to remove foundations. God help. We trust you, God. Give us boldness, give us courage, give us tactfulness, give us creativity as you have given to those men who carry that man with palsy. Lord, we are willing, but you teach us. You teach us, we are willing to use the scriptures. Lead us, O God. Help us to serve you.
Oh, my God.
Yes, O God. Obstacles and closed doors. Teach us new things, how to bring people even through ceilings to you. Guide us. Maybe, Lord, many difficulties we'll face, blockages, but give us perseverance, O God, and wisdom how to bring people right in front of you. Help us, O God. Help us not to fear men. Help us to love people, even our enemies, as you love them. As you love those who came to find fault on you, you still love them and you respond to them. Help us to be more humble, O God. Even exercise, hurt, insulted, that you will not take it by heart, but you will continue to love. Knowing, O God, that you had been more, O Lord, while you are on earth. Bless us, O God. Bless us indeed. Bless everyone with healing, grace, recovery, comfort, answer their prayers, give us solutions, show us ways, relief, O God, those who are here and those who are far away, those with the message would go to them. I pray you bestow on each and every one a blessing, even as we spoke about marriage and family and children and finances, O God. Help us, O God, to be mending our ways. Heal us from head to toe, God. Even the healing will grow to them. Will go and go to the next generations, O Lord. Bless us indeed, in large words to the Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us loaded from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.